Welcome to The Sprint, a short distance episode of the Longest Stride podcast. The podcast was created by runners for runners of all kinds. It's Black History Month. We want to make sure we're included. Our lived and experience are different, yet running connects us all. It shapes who we are today. Now hear from other hosts, and there'll be something great or something that connects. And if not, just remember, be good. Be a good human being first, and the rest will naturally fit in. We have Olivia Levy and Melissa Dolren. Take it away.
Hi, so welcome, Melissa. So today, in honor of Black History Month, we'll be looking back at some of the amazing words of wisdom our Black guests have had to offer and reflect on what we've seen in the running community and where we'd like to see it go. So how are you doing today, Melissa?
I'm good. I'm excited for this episode and happy to jump on and co-host with you.
Yeah, this is exciting. So I guess we'll get right into it. So one of the first episodes I want to recap is actually the one where I was a guest. So me and Kale Richardson talked about intersectionality in running. And I really loved being a part of this conversation because I got to talk about the role that intersectionality plays with being a runner. So obviously, all Black runners have different experiences from one another because we have different aspects to our identity. And that's something we got to unpack on this episode. We got to unpack how not only our race influences our experience, but our age and our gender and our class as well. Also, I really loved what Kale had to say on this episode. He stated that as a Black male, it's often assumed that he's training for another sport when he's out running rather than just being a runner himself. What were your thoughts about this episode, Melissa?
Yeah, it's such a great and important conversation. You know, as any sort of ethnic background, you know, we're not a monolith. So it's always good to discuss how intersectionality plays into everything we do, and especially running, because we, like you said, we all have different experiences and different reasons even why we come into the sport. It is interesting with that note from Kale about, you know, people assuming he must just be running for another sport and not just running for the sake of running. I think that's one thing that probably a lot of us come across quite often. And I think it's a conversation we'll sort of continue to, you know, talk about throughout this episode as we recap other guests' experiences, and the fact that that's part of the problem is the general public may not see, you know, Black runners as a normalized, you know, situation, that we're not just out for the competition of it or the fun of it. If it's not in the Olympics, you know, if you're not a sprinter, then you're like, oh, you run long distance too. And it's always like this funny thing. So I do feel like it's something we have to continue, I think, for those who share things via social media or, you know, writing blogs, etc. It's just something to continue to put out there, so the rest of the running community kind of has that, understands that, yeah, Black people run too.
Absolutely. And what I love is, since doing this episode, I went on to become a Saucony ambassador. So now I get to rep a brand that I love and sort of normalize seeing Black people participating in running and racing and distance running. So I think that's Absolutely. One of the reasons why representation is so important, especially with brands. And I know you work with brands as well, so you can speak to that.
Absolutely. I am a Lululemon ambassador. So yeah, the same thing. We're trying, you and I, to use that platform that those brands help elevate for us, to just showcase all the dynamic, interesting things we do, but especially with running, just to help expand that narrative that it's not something that's strange or odd, but also just to remind people of those differences and to not come in with any sort of preconceived notions and stereotypes, and just how that can also be harmful. So yeah, I think it's great that at least in that we're starting to see this more and more, with brands trying to really make a positive impact.
Definitely. And another amazing organization, kind of moving on to another episode that is doing a lot of great work, is definitely Kickback Connect. So we got to talk to Jamal back in season one, and he had so many amazing things to say. So do you want to refresh the listeners on a bit about Kickback?
Absolutely. Yeah. Jamal is an incredible human being. The Kickback is a youth-led organization founded by Jamal Berger, based here in Toronto. And his vision is to create accessible opportunities for the youth. And it really stems from his personal experiences and ongoing understanding of the day-to-day social barriers that underserved youth face. So he used his love of sneakers to sort of drive an ambition to create high-level sport, art, and media accessible to these communities. He does a lot of amazing community work. And yeah, it's such a great episode that for any listener who hasn't listened to it, definitely go back and have a listen to all the things he's doing to impact his community.
Absolutely. And Kickback did so much great work, especially over the holiday season. I know they engaged in a shoe drive and a book drive. And I think the book drive really spoke to me because for me, I'm someone who grew up with a lot of access to literature, especially Black literature. And that's such a gift to see people who look like you represented in books, and especially books about running and sports.
Absolutely. I'm a child of two educators, so I know exactly what you mean of feeling really lucky that it was just something that was part of my life, and to, again, have two parents that sought out to enrich my life via books and reading. I love anything that can support that in youth. And I just think if anyone listening can also just check out Kickback's website. As I was recalling the podcast episode that where Jonathan and Dre were chatting with him, I decided to just have a look at their website. And Jamal posted a really moving reflection on the 2020, sort of the year in review for Kickback. Because of the pandemic, there were a lot of changes. And he also just discussed some of the hopes he'd like to see in 2021. And I just wanted to read a little excerpt for folks. And this was something he posted. "What you see on social media has usually been positive. We're happy to share, but we're committing ourselves to share the other side as well this year around. If we're not reminded of the problems youth face, we'll never find solutions." I think it's a beautiful quote, and something we should always remember is that anytime we're looking at what great work some organizations are doing, social media provides us with the highlights, and we often don't understand the incredible long hours and hard work and challenges that organizations like the Kickback still face, and what the youth they're serving still face on a day-to-day basis. So there's still a lot of systemic inequality facing the youth, and I think the pandemic really widened that gap. So what Jamal's doing with that organization has just become more important as we move into 2021.
Absolutely. And especially during Black History Month, it's important to obviously celebrate Black joy and success, but we also have to recognize that there's still a lot of work to be done. So I think sharing this post is really great, and we'll definitely provide a link in the show notes so that listeners can go read the full thing.
Amazing. I mean, speaking of Black joy, you're going to talk to us about one of the most joyful runners in our Toronto community, Quinton Jacobs.
Yes, Quinton, shout out. Quinton's episode was obviously so amazing, and Quinton contributes so much to the Toronto Run community. I actually got to speak with Quinton recently on what racial representation means to him, and he shared the following with me. He said, "Racial representation in the run community means that the places and spaces where we run reflect the beautiful diversity of our city. If you've ever stood in the start corral of a large road race, you'll have experienced this firsthand, how diverse the sport of running really is. Therein lies the beauty of the sport, its simplicity making it the furthest reaching. To lose that diversity is to lose one of the most beautiful things about the sport of running." I think that is such an incredible quote. And as someone who has stood at the starting corral of a large road race, of several large road races, it is so cool to look around and see how many people of diverse backgrounds are signing up to do the exact same thing.
Absolutely. It's something I share with every non-runner or someone who is new to running and has maybe yet to experience what it's like to cheer at a marathon. I always say, if you want to see the breadth of humanity, go and cheer at a marathon. One of my favorite and all-time amazing experiences was cheering at the New York City Marathon. And you really do. You get the most incredible cross-section of people. And again, we'll share this during times like Black History Month, International Women's Month, all of these things where it's like, if you see yourself represented, it's like, if you see it, you can be it. And it's so great when we can see examples of that, and no better place than seeing people put all their heart and soul on the pavement at a marathon.
Absolutely. And I also think it's just such an amazing sight to see. It's one of the few places in the world where everyone wants to see you succeed in an environment, because everyone comes with signs, like nobody wants to see anybody fail. So I've never personally cheered at a race. I've just ran in them, but that's definitely on my bucket list.
Yes, that will be whenever those come back. I'm going to make it a plan then. I am going to bring you with me, and we are going to cheer at a marathon. It's an out-of-body experience. You think running a marathon is hard? Try standing outside for 8 hours screaming loudly for runners as they go by.
Oh, man. I'd almost rather run one. No, that's so great. And speaking of community, another amazing episode from season one was talking to Equa about Soulful Run. So obviously that is a running community and group that is aimed at getting Black people and BIPOC people at large to move in spaces and take up space. So I thought that was such an amazing episode.
Absolutely. I've had the absolute pleasure to run with Equa and to, I was at the very first Soulful Runs group run. Okay. And it really was such an awesome experience. And it might have been around this time last year, because it was cold outside. I remember that. But yeah, it was so great how she was able to just pull together local community and just became word of mouth. I found out about it through a friend, and then I told a friend, and she's really cultivated an incredible community of pre-pandemic weekly runs, and then even creating some virtual run programming through the summer and virtual races. Yeah, she is absolute force and wonderful leader in the Toronto run community.
Absolutely. And I love the idea of Black and BIPOC running groups, because obviously, like we talked about before, it's so normal to see a group of white runners out there. No one even turns their head, but we don't always see groups of BIPOC and Black people running. So I love that Equa created this, and I hope to see more groups like this when we can have group runs again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do find that more and more are starting to pop up. And at least now, virtually on social media, I think we can provide a couple of links in show notes to some great Instagram pages to follow. And especially globally, now that we are expanding beyond just talking about runners from the GTA, there are some really great groups that can keep everyone inspired to run, and also just, again, to learn more about the different issues that some Black runners face. I think part of celebrating things like Black History Month is to celebrate the wins and the joys, but to still continue having the challenging and difficult conversations. You sort of can't have one without the other. And I think we need to always have space for that in order for all of us to continue growing as a global run community.
Absolutely. And kind of on that topic, Melissa, what are ways that you'd like to see the Toronto run community and maybe the global run community grow in terms of diversity?
Yeah, for me, I like to, when I think of the idea of run community growing, I mean, locally, I mean, I think it's a matter of taking a look, if you are a run leader or a coach, at looking at the spaces you are inhabiting. What do all your runners look like? Do you need to cultivate more diversity in however that looks. And maybe ask yourself, if you hadn't thought of it, ask yourself why. I think that's very important. And then on a more broader scope, I just think in the areas of brands and media, you know, just having everyone continue to provide equity, inclusion, and transparency, you know, not just on what's shown on their Instagram pages or on their in magazines, but even from internal staffing. Because I think that's a lot of it, is you can slap some Black runners on the cover of a magazine, but if your writers and photographers and editors are still all white, you're not having that diversity of perspective and experience. And I think that's what, you know, we as runners who are consuming this media need to really ask of these brands, is to have that transparency, to say that we're included from all scopes. I do feel like we're starting to really see that shift. Mm-hmm. Recently, Wazelle, which is a women's running apparel company, hired Alison Desir, who is a runner and activist from Harlem. She's now their new director of sports advocacy. And I think that's huge. Like, the owner is really taking ownership of creating good allyship and creating programming in order to make sure that she's really being inclusive in all areas of her brand and with the sport that we all love. The same thing with Tracksmith Running. I've seen it over the last year or so, their journal online. They've really been supporting a lot of BIPOC runners and run clubs and featuring them and just giving them a platform to share their voice, share their story. There are so many incredible groups out there already on the road and in the trails. We just have to look out for them, and maybe someone in your neighborhood or someone you know or a colleague or a coworker, when it's safe to run together again, maybe you just start to ask someone you know to come out and go for a run and maybe share some personal experiences about your life and see how that can grow in your own community.
Absolutely. And in talking about Tracksmith, that actually reminds me of Marathon Marcus, who was our season opener for season two, how he talked about, he gave a really great analogy about this idea of designing an invitation. So it's like throwing a party and wanting to have a diverse group of people there, but you don't have diverse people designing those invitations. So you may not reach those people. So that's why it's so important that at the CEO level and at the decision-making levels of different sports and running organizations, that that diversity exists as well as at the modeling and brand ambassadorship levels.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. That's it. It's got to be from the top down to continue making those lasting impacts.
Exactly. And I really can't wait to see what the running community looks like in the next 10 years, because I think it's on a great upward trajectory and I think it'll only get better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So hopefully everyone can take this time to look back at season one and re-listen to some of your favorites or check out things you maybe missed the first time around and continue celebrating Black History Month with us.
For sure. And for any listeners, if you know of someone who we should be talking to, whether they're in the GTA or across the globe, definitely reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter at The Longest Stride and let us know, so that we can keep having diverse guests and giving this platform to all different types of people. And with that being said, this is The Longest Stride.